Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Welcome everybody to the Vineyard. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is his name. Stand to your feet if you can. Sing. Oh. Here we go. Now we're ready. Say, oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God saves. I love you.
Isn't that great? Just a little tip for some of you here. You can add to the hand clapping and the moving side by side. You get the neck going, and you put a semi-stack face on. That means you got your groove on, so you're like... That was an extra there. It was an ask for, but anyhow, bienvenidos a Vineyard Cincinnati. Es un placer estar con ustedes en esta tarde, and that's a heavenly tongue, Puerto Rican Spanish. It only means welcome to Vineyard Cincinnati. It's a great pleasure to be with you. We've been praying and planning and looking forward to this great celebration today, being with you. Amen. And I'm glad to announce that we have, as you've heard, special music. It's wonderful music. We have a special word from the Lord through Pastor Rob. And we have... And I've been corrected. I've been announcing that we have a special guest directly from Cusco, Peru. His name is Larry the Llama, but somebody corrected me, and it says it's not Larry the Llama. He's from Kentucky, and it's Andrew the Alpaca. So in true politician fashion, I am sorry if somebody was offended. I misspoke. Amen. But all jokes aside, we are here to proclaim, first and foremost, that we have a risen Savior. Happy Easter to you all. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful, oh God, and never grow tired of proclaiming the truth and the good news that you died on the cross and you paid for a penalty of our sins, past, present, and future, so that we can be free from the guilt of sin, free from the power of sin, and one day free from the presence of sin. Thankful, Father, that you did not stay in the grave, but that you rose on the third day, Father, for our justification. And we declare boldly and celebrate the goodness of God through Jesus Christ in this great salvation that we have. We pray that you'll be glorified through everything we do and say this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's continue to worship together.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows. Christ, my living hope.
Oh,
displayed on a criminal's cross. And darkness rejoices though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested, my life began. That's when death was arrested, my life began. Oh, the race so free washed.
Turn to some folks around you, say Happy Easter, and then you may be seated. A bunch of happy people in the room. That's a good sign. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our giving. But first, I want to let you know that later on in the service, Pastor Rob is going to challenge each one of us to take a next step. Now, for some of us who may be newer to the church, that might mean picking up one of these life adventure guides. For others of us who may be newer to the Christian faith, it might mean picking up this How to Find God book. And if this is your first time with us, it will include filling out a Connect card, which you can exchange for a gift today. Now, you can get a head start on filling out that Connect card right now by locating one in the seat back in front of you. And I want to let you know, if it's your first time with us today and you fill out a Connect card and turn it in, not only are you going to receive a gift today, but here's how you're going to receive follow-up. You're going to receive two text messages. The first is going to be a personal thank you from Pastor Rob for joining us on Easter weekend, and the second is going to be a coupon for free stuff at the cafe the next time you visit us here at Vineyard Cincinnati. So I want to let you know what will happen if you turn in one of those Connect cards. Now, next weekend, we start an exciting new teaching series called Fighter, and we think this series is going to be helpful for everybody, regardless of how you self-identify in terms of God, faith, and church. We put together a series thinking of you. And an exciting part of this series is that there will be a live appearance from UFC fighting legend Ken Shamrock. So take a look.
What are we expecting from you tonight?
Lots of pain.
Bigger than life. Ken, to me, is like one of the founding fathers of MMA.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody should be able to tell a fighter when to stop fighting. He loves the fight, the action. He's like a bulldog, you know?
He's been through some real dark places in his life.
It feels like I'm fighting not to fail. That's the same person that you're fighting in the ring, is that disappointment. That thing that you're trying to overcome so much, that thing that you're trying to crush and smash out, is that person that you are, because you're afraid of people finding out who you are.
So once again, that series launches next weekend. And now as we get ready to worship with our giving, I want to let you know of something special we do on Easter weekend. Vineyard Cincinnati has a ministry partner called Convoy of Hope. They're a faith-based organization that provides disaster response and emergency relief whenever tragedy strikes all over the globe. So today, as we worship the Lord with our giving, I want you to know that 100% of the cash given in today's offering will go directly to Convoy of Hope. Okay, all other forms of giving will be utilized as designated, but want to let you know that any cash you give today, 100% of that will be given to Convoy of Hope. Okay, let's pray together. Yeah, let's round of applause for that. That's a good thing to clap for. Let's pray together today. Jesus, this is all about you. We've come here to worship you. It's because of you. It's for you. It's all about you. And it's such a joy-filled day. And Jesus, you're the one that has done that for us. And so as we worship today, we want to bring the best worship we know how to bring. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
No other king could vanquish the warhorse or silence the warrior's rage while riding the lowly back of a donkey. No other king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that king, the king of glory, son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for, the one to deliver us from captivity, the son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father's Son, Savior of the world, and substitute for our sins. More loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other king like him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other king like him. There is no other king.
He is Jesus. Christ our Savior.
Happy Easter. So good to be together. I think we should have Easter every weekend. Who's with me? Okay, next weekend we're going to have it again. Just come on back. If you're a guest or visitor, thanks for being here. Really appreciate you taking the time out to be with us. We're celebrating the victory of Jesus, and then we're asking the question, how do I get in on the victory that he won? What is the victory that Jesus actually won, and how do we cash in on it? Victory. I like winning. I like winning. Would you say the word victory with me?
Victory.
It just sounds good, doesn't it? Winning. When you think about victory, I immediately thought of Winston Churchill, who was known for having the victory sign. This is also, could have been right after they asked him the question of how many martinis did you have for breakfast, Winston? You know anything about him? You thought I was just going to mind my manners just because I have a jacket on. You don't know. Okay. The greatest picture of victory, I mean, this is one of my favorite pictures of all time. Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston. I love this photo because it's a conquering king over a defeated foe. I love this picture. And then I know at Easter you were thinking about this story of the NCAA basketball tournament and the greatest victory that was ever won, so I'm just going to relay that because it was already on your mind. In 1983, there was a team, NC State, and they were just not that great. They had lost 10 games. They just barely made it into the tournament. You're tracking with me right now, I know. And then they won like 4, 5, 6 games in a row by 1 point, and then they made it into the championship game. Only problem was they were facing a Houston team who you already know had Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde, the Clyde Drexler. You wanted to finish that sentence, I know. And they had this fraternal moniker that they called this team Phi Slamma Jamma because they spent so much time dunking on all their opponents, and everybody knew that NC State was going to be decimated. But then in the championship game, NC State is just hanging around. They're still there. And at the end of the game, I knew you'd want to see it on Easter. There's 7 seconds left. The game is tied, and NC State has the ball. So let's watch this together.
It's down to 7 seconds.
You can see the time.
Oh, my gosh. What's going to happen? He shoots. No, he passes. Oh, my gosh. They did it. Now, this is the greatest part. They don't even know what to do.
They won.
They won this incredible victory. Watch. Running, running, running. So, okay. Jimmy Valvano was known after every game that point guard would go and give him a hug. Well, after this pandemonium totally broke out and he couldn't find the player, so he's running around looking for someone to hug. And they just kind of left him in the dirt, you know? When you have a victory, you want to share it. I mean, if you've had a victory in your life, you don't just sit alone and ponder the victory. Man, you call people, you get on Facebook, you Instagram it, right? You humble brag to the whole world that you had a victory. Jesus Christ wins the victory on the cross over sin, and I see the Father running to all of us, proclaiming, I have won a victory that you can share in. This is why when Tiger Woods won last weekend, you thought just like I did. I know. No, this happens every service. I mention Jesus and the cross, and it's like, yes. And then I mention Tiger Woods, it's like, oh, definitely, yeah. You thought the same thing I did when you were watching Tiger Woods win. It'd been 14 years since he won, and then he wins the Masters, and Jim Nance and them put this picture of him up of his hugging his dad 14 years ago and then hugging his son, and you're sitting there thinking just like I did. I turned to my wife and said, the gospel. That's what you thought too, right? Because the gospel is in every story that touches your heart. Hey, if you're a visitor here, if you don't know anything about God, if you don't know anything about Jesus, investigate this. Every story that really touches your heart is about a father and a son. It's about a mother and a daughter. It's about a reunion that happens, a victory that is shared. And what would the victory be if you weren't hugging your father? And what would the victory be if you weren't hugging your son? This is what the victory is all about. So we're asking the question, what is the victory Jesus won? And how do we share in that victory? I'm so glad that you asked that question today because I just happen to have a bit of an answer, hopefully. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He sent his son to the world. This is the incarnation. The implausibility of the incarnation, that God, standing outside of time and space, would wrap himself in skin, limit himself as a human being, implausible at best. God, who made everything and is outside of time, steps into time, the story goes, if you believe this, and becomes a human being. Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead of holding on to that identity, he became one of us, fully God and fully man. And then it says that he, Jesus, learned through what he suffered. It's not surprising if you learn something, but when the creator of the universe is now learning, he became one of us. So this is why we talk at Christmas about the incarnation. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And of course, his son's sole purpose on the earth was to die for us. So at the cross, he dies and gets victory over sin and death and the grave. He wins this incredible victory. And we know that on Friday, he dies. We know the story well enough that on Sunday, he's going to come back from the dead. He's dead 3 days. He's dead Friday, all day Saturday. He comes back Sunday morning. The Bible is fairly silent about what happens on Saturday. On Saturday, after the victory that Jesus won, he won this victory being fully human, dying for our sins, satisfying the wrath of God, and yet remaining holy and becoming a perfect sacrificial lamb that would, just as Adam, sin came into the world, so in Jesus Christ, righteousness was reintroduced. We still have the question of how we get in on it, but he died. Then on Saturday, if you're a NASCAR fan, you're familiar with the victory lap. This is what Jesus was doing. The Bible says that he went into the lower parts of the earth. That is, that Jesus somehow, undescribed in Scripture, enters into hell, takes the keys to sin, to death, and the grave, and puts his heel on the head of the enemy. Everything that would hold you captive, Jesus has taken captive. Anything that would hold you in bondage, Jesus has bound. Anything that would hold you back, Jesus now has power and authority over. He defeated Satan. Now, here's the interesting part. Satan is defeated, and eventually he will be destroyed. Right now, we're in between his defeat and his destruction. So he won't admit that he's defeated, and he's a liar, and so he's still roaming the earth and still messing with you in your life. But you need to know something. Jesus has defeated him. He's a defeated foe. And he will eventually be destroyed. Jesus then, having taken his victory lap, the Bible says that there were people in the tombs. There along the Mount of Olives, there's a bunch of tombs. And the scripture actually says that when Jesus came back from the dead, many were raised from the dead. That they actually came out of the tombs there, the Mount of Olives, and walked around Jerusalem freaking people out. I mean, it doesn't say exactly that, but you know they did. I mean, the walking dead. Why did that happen? To give testimony to the fact that Jesus went and preached freedom to those who were bound. That every single person who trusts in him can participate in his victory. Of course, then he comes back to life. When he comes back to life, he comes back from the dead. He's there for 40 days. And he's doing what a person does when they've been raised from the dead, walking through walls and appearing here and vanishing there in his glorified body. Eyewitness accounts of these 40 days of a man resurrected from the dead. Do you know of any other name of any other person from 2,000 years ago in a small village in the Middle East who still graces the cover of Time magazine and has changed lives in this room and a billion lives on the planet? There's no other name. Just, even if you don't know who Christ is, just those mere facts about his life should make you be honest enough to say, I need to investigate and see if this is true. He comes back, he's there for 40 days, and then he ascends into heaven. And I'm being so tricky. I don't know if you realize what I just did there, made a big V for victory. Okay, I don't know why I went full George Bush voice on that time, but I don't know. Then he sent the Holy Spirit as our helper. He won the victory. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin no longer has to dominate you. The flesh no longer has to dominate you. The world and its ways no longer have to dominate you. You can have a new king because of what he did for us. Paul writes further in Romans, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have troubles or we're persecuted or hungry or poor or in danger or threatened or with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Not death or life or angels or demons or fears. Fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And in my mind, I immediately go back to the victory that Tiger Woods had, and he shared with his father, and he shared with his son. And the victory that Jesus had, he wants to share with us. The question is, how do I become part of this victory? You know, when the Bears won in 1986, I was like a part of the team. I just felt like we won. And every year after that, I felt like a complete loser. And now I'm a Bengals fan, so it kind of just continues on. Sorry. But you kind of, when your team wins, you win. And when your team loses, you feel like you lose, even though you have no vest. I mean, you're not a part of it. You don't play. And, you know, you have nothing to do with it. But you can actually get in on this victory. If what I'm saying today is true, you have the opportunity, and I have the opportunity. Every person in the world has an opportunity to get in on this victory. And how does that happen? The way that God has designed this to happen and us to participate in his victory is one word. Have you ever wondered why this word? By faith. Faith. Why not hope or love or character or some other attribute, but faith? My wife's going to have to come and help me with this. She told me between services, just get it right. I did. Why faith? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him, and you think that's so easy just to believe in him, but faith is the one attitude of the heart that is the exact opposite of depending on ourselves. This is why it's so difficult for us, because it's not about you being smart enough or lofty enough or wise enough or trying enough or religious enough. It's about you putting all of your trust and hope in Jesus. And this is very difficult for us to do. It's not just faith in like believing in. It's believing on. Let me describe it this way. Later on this afternoon, and it won't be too long, I will be believing in my lazy boy chair. Not only will I be believing in it, like there it is, I believe in you, you're there. I can see it now in my mind's eye, it's there, I believe in it. What good does that do me right now? But I will eventually throw my full weight into that chair. And you know you have that chair that you can throw your full weight into, and you know just about how hard to fall, and the legs pop up and you're good, right? You can put the full weight of who you are. That's faith, fully trusting in who he is. Now, I'm standing in front of you today, and I'm representing hundreds and thousands of people who would tell you the same. Jesus has never disappointed me. I have put the full weight of my hope and my past, my sin and my future, my present, my family, finances, everything I have and everything I'm about. And he has never failed me, and he's never disappointed me. He's been able to bear the full weight of who I am, and I build my life on him. And this is what faith in him is, that you would take all of who you are and say, I trust in you. Now, it's difficult. What are some things that keep us from actually putting our trust in him? One thing, you may be a guest or visitor and somebody gave you a mug and invited you to come to church, and maybe you're like me and you grew up Catholic and you came in here today and you're like, oh, we're not in a Catholic church right now. And you might just be saying, what's up? Like, I don't know. This is the first I've ever heard this could be personal. If this is you, I just want to encourage you, kick the tires of Christianity. See if we're here next week. We'll be here next week. Come and check it out and see if these claims are true. What you need to do is explore and search and know that no question that you have for Almighty God is going to intimidate him. If you seek him, you will find him. He's running hard after you. He didn't die on a cross so that you could die without him. He wants you. That's the reason that you're here. He longs to know you. And as you seek him, you'll find him. There's another reason you might not think about giving your life to Jesus or want to. It's because maybe you've met Christians before. Maybe you've had a bad experience in church. You know there's flaky Christians, right? Don't look around. My theory is they were flaky before they were Christians, and give Jesus a break. He's trying, okay? There's hypocrites in every walk of life. There are therapists doing marriage therapy that have been divorced 7 times. I reckon they can tell you what not to do. Here's the thing about this, though. You can find a hypocrite in Christianity. But the question isn't, are there hypocrites in Christianity? See, Jesus won't be judged by the failures of Christians, but Christians will be judged by Jesus. And so the question isn't whether every Christian you've ever met is true. The question is Jesus true, and is this real, and can you trust in him? The last area of reason why you may not give your life to Jesus is one that I struggled with, which is just myself. Like, I know I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I've tried 100 things, and I don't have what it takes, and I'm never going to be able to work hard enough and be religious enough and holy enough and all that stuff, and I don't want all. I just can't do it. This is where I remind you that in Christianity, by faith, you don't have to work to clean up your act. You trust in Jesus and let him clean up your act. This is the beautiful thing about grace. Received by faith, he does the work in you as you allow it. Now, our church is filled with ordinary people who've had an extraordinary experience with God, and God's helping us. I look cleaned up today. It's because my kids dressed me. And it's because Jesus has done more in my life than I could ever imagine. And if there's anything good that you see in me, my family already knows this, it's because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And we thought it'd be cool for you to hear a story of someone else in our church. Thanks. My mom's sitting up there. I appreciate it, Mom. We thought you'd enjoy seeing Kelly's story. So check this out.
My name is Kelly Ruan, and I'm a recovering addict. I grew up in Cincinnati on the west side of town, and I have two brothers, an older brother, a younger brother. We did go to church. It wasn't too, like, I would say, like, religious. Like, we didn't go every Sunday, but, I mean, we did. We were taught to never question God. Probably around 12 years old is when I started to rebel. I was so quiet. Like, I didn't know how to get out of my shell. And that's when I was introduced to alcohol. It's really scary. Just empty water bottles. I found out, you know, vodka's clear. Put that in a water bottle. Anything I did at that age, I was drinking. Probably around 19 is when I changed that. There was a lot of pills involved. There was a lot of cocaine involved. And it just happened. You know, you don't wake up and plan that you're going to be an addict. You know, I couldn't control it. And then came along Brianna at around 30. I got pregnant with her. And I thought my whole life was over because I could no longer party, right? That's what I told myself. My life is over. I'll never have fun anymore. And I thought, I'm done using. I'm done using. I can't do it anymore, you know? That lasted about 10 months of Brianna being alive. And I just lost my mind, like, all over again. So I used her first 3 years of her life until, you know, I ended up in Butler County Jail from domestic violence. And you want to talk about trying to find some humility. I didn't even know why I was there. I woke up and I had no idea why I was there. I thought I got a DUI. And I was supposed to take Brianna to the circus that morning. I've never felt so trapped and alone in my entire life than that moment. Getting out of Butler County Jail, and that train was going by. And I'll never forget thinking I could just walk in front of that train and no one would miss me, because all I am is an addict. And my probation officer screamed at me one day, screamed at me, and just laid it out on the table for me. And that was March of 2017. Even once you get clean, even like 30 days into being clean, you're still, there's just a fog to you. And someone in the room suggested that I go to Vineyard Church. And I was like, I'll try it. And the day I walked in here was the first day that I ever felt like security and like peace and comfort and not judged. And I can feel something inside of me that is more powerful than the disease of addiction today. And I didn't have that until I came here. I was very judging on myself. I was very hard on myself. And like, he loves me the way that I am. He made me. Sure, I have work to do, but in order for that work to be done, like, I have to start living in his will. And it started with being baptized and acknowledging that I believe he died on the cross for me. I mean, he's literally saved my life. I mean, that's all. It's just that simple. He never left me, never, ever left me. He gave me a chance and he gave me hope and freedom and broke every chain I've ever been attached to.
My name is Kelly Ruan and I'm a child of God.
By his stripes we are healed, by his nail-pierced hands we're free. By his blood we're washed clean. Now we have the victory. And the power of sin is broken. Jesus overcame it all. Yes, he has. And he has won our freedom.
He reigns on high. Our God is risen.
Would you stand with me if you're not already standing? That basically my wife, please stand. Sometimes you just gotta say, whoa, 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 you know? That was a terrible version of that. There's a few groups of people in the room, maybe three. There are those of us who've experienced salvation through Jesus Christ. He's done more in our life than we could ever imagine. And we've just celebrated this victory, just reminded of his victory, and we share in that. There's another group of people who are here and you're not quite sure and you're thinking about it. So again, I just encourage you to seek him. And then there's another group of people who the Lord, by a process, has been bringing you along. You're either away from him and you need to come back, or you're in the process right now where you're like, I'm ready to make the decision. I don't understand all of it, but I'm ready to make a decision to get in on this victory and put my whole life in his hands. Well, I don't want to isolate you, call you out, have you stand or come forward, and I know that nobody here wants that, but I do want to give you the opportunity to say a simple prayer. So what I'm going to do, and this is the great thing, this is totally your choice. No one can make you make this choice. God himself won't make you make the choice. You have to make the choice. But if that's your choice and you want to give him your life, there's also no one who can stop you from making the choice. So you can say this prayer with me, and what I want us to do is, most of us are believers here, that you would just pray this prayer out loud with me, so that those folks who are by you, who are praying this prayer for the first time, don't have to pray it alone, okay? So would you bow your heads with me? And would you pray this prayer with me? Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, as the one who forgives me and redeems me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen. Would you help me in thanking all those folks that said that prayer today? So just a couple more things. I want to end by just saying a blessing for you, but before I do that, I'll remind you, on your way out at every info area, there's a life adventure guide if you're taking a next step in your relationship with Jesus. There's a free gift if you're a guest or visitor. You fill out that Connect card. But most importantly, if you just said that prayer for the first time or you're coming back to the Lord, we want you to grab one of those New to the Faith How to Find God books on your way out. And you don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want to. You just grab one and head out. But we do want you to have that, and we're so glad that you're here. And I want to conclude by just saying a blessing over you, if that's okay. One of my great joys as a pastor has just been able to bless you and your family. It's been so fun being together today. So now I just bless you in the name of the Lord. And I just pray that he would lift his countenance upon you, that he would have his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, that you would experience his grace and his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Happy Easter.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.